So this is the time of year where we start talking about resolutions a lot, right? This is, or hopefully you've been talking about it if you have one that you're doing. You might have decided already what your resolution's going to be. But there is a trend lately that I have noticed where that is to talk negatively about the idea of resolutions in general, right? Like when you read an article or something, you know, blog post online, someone is saying, hey, resolutions don't work. It's not really a good idea to think about your life and your year that way, because resolutions, you know, you just end up maybe breaking them. Most people don't keep the resolutions that they make and things like that. So it's very common right now. A lot of the way people talk about resolutions is they say, don't even bother with that. Don't make resolutions. They don't work. Maybe set goals, but resolutions, I don't know if they work or not. And so in general, there's kind of this negative vibe around resolutions. That's what I've seen anyway lately. But the thing is, like, I think anything that you can use, whether it's your birthday, whether it's the new year, whether it is a new week, whatever it may be that might stir you on to make some kind of positive change in your life, some kind of goal that you're trying to do, I don't think we should, you know, downplay that. I think all those things are good. And you probably know, you probably have resolutions, some of you, things that you've done that you'd made a decision at some moment, whether it was the new school year or the new year or whatever it might have been, and that you made a change. You made some kind of positive change that really made a difference. And I've heard too many stories about people making real change in their life during the new year, setting a new year resolution. Even if a bunch of them fail, a bunch of them also succeed, right? And so there's something to that. I think that's worth your consideration to not just throw away the idea of resolutions in general. And because this is the first Sunday of the year, it's the first day of the year, what a great way for us to get together and to talk about the year ahead. We are going to be doing a series for the next few weeks called Practice, and I'll explain what the name is all about here in a moment. But I hope, and really my goal in the sermon this morning, is to as much as possible convince you to put some spiritual practices in your life that will help you in the year ahead and throughout your life. And we're going to be talking about three different spiritual practices over the course of this series. But really, the whole point of this sermon this morning is to encourage you, to spur you on to making some practices, some habits, some disciplines that you'll add to your life if you haven't already. And if you already have them, I want to encourage you to pursue them in the year ahead and you know, to continue doing that, because it's very important. So to do that, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's going to be two passages of Scripture we'll look at this morning, 1 Timothy and Colossians 3. And I'll explain what these stools are for in just a moment. I'm going to grab one more, actually. Because in a little bit, I'm going to have some friends up here on the stage that are going to help me talk about some spiritual disciplines that we want to instill in our life and hopefully give you some good practical ideas about some disciplines that you might have. But let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. It says this: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now, I like this passage of Scripture. And in fact, if you made physical fitness resolutions this year, this is actually a good verse to that. It doesn't sound like it is right off the bat, but it actually is. If you're looking for biblical support why it's a good idea to take care of yourself physically, this is a good verse for that. And it's saying here that train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value. It is saying that it is of some value. But the reason why its value is limited is because it's only valuable in this life. There might be, you know, things that you do as a disciplined person in your, you know, physical fitness or whatever that might help you, might have spiritual benefits, but in general, bodily training, its value just lies in this life. And someday, all of our lives will come to an end, and that physical fitness thing will cease to have its value. But godliness, it says, is of value in every way because it matters now and it matters for eternity. It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So bodily training is of value. Paul's not saying, like, that's silly. Why would anyone put the time into taking care of themselves that way? It's like, no, he's saying it is of value. But its value is limited by the span of your life. But godliness will continue. It has value today, it has value tomorrow, and it has value in eternity. Now, I want to talk about something that I hope will be helpful to you. And there's a mindset difference that I think some of us need to change. There's a mindset that I think some of us have when it comes to our spiritual life. And it's the difference between two words. It's the difference between trying and training. Trying and training. There's a lot of things that I could try to do right now that I would absolutely fail to do. Like I could pick up this guitar and play you a song, but I can't actually do that. I could try to do that, but no matter how I tried, it wouldn't come out sounding like a song, any recognizable piece of music, because I don't know how to play the guitar. That's something that I have not learned how to do. But with some training, right, some practice and some lessons perhaps, eventually I probably could do that, right? I can't bench press 300 pounds. I can't do it. I in football, we did like our max reps, you know, in high school football, and I never got up to 300 pounds to begin with, but not someone that lifts, you know, on a regular basis now. I don't think I could get on the underneath the, you know, the on the bench and put the bar with 300 pounds, and I could try, but I would fail. Like, I'd drop the bar on myself, you know, and it'd be an embarrassing, I'd have to like, how do I get out of this one? But I could train, and I think eventually, after a lot of work, I probably could bench press 300 pounds. There are things that we think about, and when we think about our relationship with Christ, a lot of us try to follow Jesus, to live like Christ. That's our goal. We want to be like Jesus. We want to talk to people the way Jesus would talk. We want to serve people the way Jesus would serve. We want to think the kind of thoughts that Jesus thought. We want to be like Christ. That's really the goal of the Christian life, is to be like Christ. And a lot of us try to do that, and we fail at it. And then we feel like, well, I got to try harder. I'm just going to keep trying. And I think that's a good motive, and I think you should try harder. But I think what we're missing is the training piece. And the difference between trying and training, and you know, this concept's from a writer named Dallas Willard, that really brilliant writer talking about spiritual life, and he says that we often try, but what we really need to do is train to be like Christ. And the thing is that the Christian life, there are practices that Christians have done for 2,000 years, the whole history of the history of the church and the history of Christianity. There are practices that we can do that will train us to be like Christ. So it's not just trying, it's actually training as well, that we can develop these practices and these disciplines that we do, and we draw upon the same resources that Christ did. When you think about Christ's spiritual life, the way that Jesus walked through this world and the things that were important to him, you see that things like scripture and prayer were very, very important to him. That he memorized huge passages of scripture and was able to just bring them to mind and quote when he needed to. But there are practices that we need to have and we need to do as Christians that will help us to not just try harder to be like Jesus, but during these practices and as we train, we grow more and more like Christ. There's this intentional nature to it that we sometimes forget about. Where Paul is talking about his own spiritual life, and he says, I discipline my body, and I bring it under control. I want to glorify Christ with everything that I have. And then 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself. It is an intentional effort that is required if we're going to grow more like Christ. And so there's spiritual practices that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. And the title of the sermon, title of the series is Practice. We're talking about practices. And I gave it that title because talking about these spiritual practices, but also as a sports fan, I just remember a very notorious press conference. Do you guys remember Allen Iverson, the basketball player? And there was this press conference where he was in trouble for missing practice. And it was one of these like early viral videos that went around, and people, they showed it on TV a lot. And he kept saying, practice. We're talking about practice. How many of you guys have seen that? Okay, all six of us, good. He says, we're not talking about a game, we're talking about practice. I missed practice. I didn't miss a game, we're talking about practice. He kept saying that over and over again, and it just made me think of this series that, you know, this is our spiritual practices. Practice is important. Practice helps us grow more like Christ. So today I want to talk about Scripture. Today, really every year, if you've been coming to Life Roads for a little while, at least one Sunday out of every year, I make a really big deal about why we need to read our Bibles. and why we need to meditate, think about Scripture, why we need to memorize Scripture. God's Word matters, and it really is important that we make it a habit and a practice of regularly spending time in God's Word. And the reason is that we want to encounter the living God in Scripture. I was reading this magazine I got in the mail, and it said that I was talking about the approach we should have with God's Word, and in quoting with a guy named Trevin Wax, who's a writer, he says, that's an interesting name, by the way, Trevin Wax is his name, but anyway, that's not really the point. And he says this, in Bible study, we need to ask what the text teaches us about God. We go to the Bible not to find practical tidbits for our daily living, but to encounter God. Who is God? What is he like? How has he made himself known? How does he speak to us? What does he expect of us? To me, Bible study that doesn't ask those questions is boring. He says, we're going to Scripture because we want to learn about Jesus. We want to know Jesus more. We want to encounter the living God and to see what God has said, to see the things that matter to God, and to see what should matter to me because of that. That all those things are we find in Scripture. So we need the Bible in our lives. And really, the average Christian, just so you know, the average Christian has never read the entire Bible, and the average Christian doesn't make a habit of reading Scripture. You know, statistically, when they've done research on this, there's not very many of you that read it every day if you read it every day. That's unfortunately uncommon. And the number of Christians that have never read the entire Bible, it's a significant percentage of people. And so I want to encourage you in the year ahead to make Scripture reading an important part of your life. And the cool thing is it's January 1st today, right? So if you have a smartphone, it's very easy to set this up. And I'll be talking more about the Bible reading plan that I'm encouraging the church to do together. There's a new Bible reading plan that we've identified and spent some time looking through all the different options. And there's one that I'd love for us all to do together. And I'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. But Colossians 3:16, I think, really tells us, kind of speaks to the importance of God's Word and what we're trying to do. And I'll read it to you. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So our goal is that, those first few words, let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's our goal. That's a transformative thing. When we put ourselves into a situation and practices where we're regularly encountering the living God in His Word and letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, it is a transformative kind of thing. 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4, talks about as we behold the glory of the Lord, that we are transformed from one degree of glory to the other. That when we think about God, when we consider God, when we read about Him in His Word, it transforms us. It is a transformative thing. So we want to be diligent in our spiritual practices, and I want to have, this is kind of an unusual Sunday. We started an hour late than we normally do. We've got pastries in the back. The kids are in here with us. We wanted to do something a little bit different than we would typically do on a normal Sunday, and that is we're going to have a little bit of a discussion just up here on the stage for you to hear, for you to be a part of. And I've invited several people to come up here on the stage, grab some microphones, and we're going to have a conversation about spiritual practices in general. We're talking about Scripture, but we're broadening that even more to just talk about spiritual practices. And my goal for this conversation, so if I've talked to you, yeah, Kylan, Dan, Pam, and Matt, come on up here. So my goal for this conversation is I'm hoping that you will grab onto something practical. There'll be something that you grab onto during the course of this conversation that will be something you can try, one takeaway, something that you might find helpful during this conversation, a practice, something, and we're talking about Scripture, but even broader. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about different spiritual practices. And so I want to start off with, everyone, Pam, everyone, Kylan, Dan, Matt, yes, thank you. Yeah. Pam's normally down there with our kiddos. And for those of you who don't know, Pam's my wife and also runs a lot of stuff here at the church, very involved in ministry together with me and us. And Kylan and Dan are part of our teaching team and also council members and just very involved in lots of aspects of the church life. And then Pastor Matt is our worship pastor. And so I wanted to have a little bit of a broad kind of spectrum of people up here because we all have different ways that we connect with God. And I think that there are some people that might gravitate, they might be just all about prayer, and there might be other people that be maybe all about Bible study or listening to sermons or things like that. And so I wanted to hear from some different people, or, you know, worship, for example, being something that just is the primary way that people connect with God. But that's my first question that I'm just going to throw to the group, and whoever wants to take it can take it. But and I've worded the question a little bit differently because there are people that are kind of wired differently. We're all unique and created differently by God, and I think that's part of the beauty of it. But when do you feel most connected with God? Or alternately, if you don't like that phraseology, what practice helps strengthen your faith the most? So kind of two different options there. But when do you feel most connected with God? Or what practice, spiritual practice, helps strengthen your faith the most? And then what the other part of that is, what role does God's word play in that? I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to take that.
I'm going to go through a little bit of a story around this, though, because my walk has changed quite a bit as I matured in Christ. But it actually began, its root really began in Scripture. I began investigating what Christianity could really mean. And I was reading a whole lot of other stuff at the time. Like, I was researching different religions, and especially Eastern religions, and so it became a big intellectual search for me. So it started in a really core in Scripture. But as I matured, I mean, I recognized what really matured me was community. So being plugged in with people and studying together and asking questions together and living together and really becoming a family under Christ was a big piece of it. And then I recognized that, and I used to say, I'm not very good at the discipline of reading Scripture every day. And it doesn't really mean much to me when I do that. And so I would focus on heavy study. But then you realize, okay, that one chapter a month that I'm studying, there's 52 weeks in the year, there's 66 books in the Bible. I'm not getting through much of the Scripture. And so I realized I need kind of a twofold into this. And one is I need to be continually taking in Scripture on a continual basis to get the large sweeping concept of Scripture and just having it in my face and coming through my eyeballs into my heart every day. But then I also need the second phase of really deep study to really dig into it, to really ask the questions, what does this mean? Who is the audience? How can I learn from this? And then the second piece, as I continued to mature, became prayer. And it's kind of the same thing with prayer. 1 Thessalonians says, pray continually. But the second part of that is I recognize that's me just continually battling to God. And I need to take a step back, and I need to listen to him, and I need to see, reflect, what am I learning from Scripture? And so there was deep, deep prayer times involved as well. So kind of a long-winded answer.
Yeah, well, and to piggyback on that too, for me, prayer has been huge. And being willing to struggle through things with God, not shying away from those questions and saying, God, what's going on? Why? You know, diving into the Word, and you know, it's amazing how when you ask God why, a lot of times he'll say, look in my Word, and you'll find those things, those answers, you know. And so for me, it's been the times I felt closest to God, to kind of go back to that question, is honestly, it's been in times of struggle for me, which is, you know, maybe odd to say, but for me, when I feel closest to God, it's when God and I are, you know, He's saying, I got this. And I'm going, well, what do you got? What's going on? Why? What's happening? He's like, just trust, you know, just be still, you know. So for me, that practice of prayer and just talking with God and having those conversations with him and allowing him that space to say, you know, he's big. He can handle our questions, you know. So.
Interesting you say the in times of struggle. I was thinking last night, we were cleaning out our basement on New Year's Eve, and
that's a struggle.
Yeah, that was a big struggle.
Party.
I was thinking through this question on what, you know, when are the times in my life when I felt the closest to the Lord? And one of the things that popped up in my mind, I was like, you know, sometimes I feel really close to the Lord when I've just
been totally messed up, and I come back and I find that the Lord is welcoming me back. And oddly, after times of failure on my part, sometimes I feel the closest to him, in just that he welcomes me back. And but on a problem, maybe a little more practical note, I was thinking there's kind of two themes if I survey my walk with the Lord. the times I feel like there's sustained closeness with God, two kind of themes feel like they pop out. One is it's a priority in my life, and then the second is I have like a daily time when I'm hanging out with God. By priority, you know, I'm a busy guy. I'm an engineer, small business owner, got six kids, and I have all the reason in the world not to have time to spend with the Lord. And there's periods where I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. Even if it's 5 minutes, I'm going to spend time with God. And making it a priority and then having a sustained period of that, I find that, wow, there's a connection here. And God really honors that, which I think is awesome. And then another piece, though, is just the daily times, like having a plan and just, you know, pulling out God's word. For me, it's I get up in the morning, my coffee maker is my alarm, so I hear it going off, and I set it the night before. I go down and get a cup of coffee and spend a little time reading in God's word and a little time in prayer. And just doing that over a period of time, I feel like those are, I see and I'm able to feel a connection with God that I don't have if I'm not prioritizing it and not making that kind of daily commitment to it.
Yeah, just when you were saying that consistency, something sparked, you know, in my head too. It's like it's consistency, not perfection. Because I was like, I know, maybe I'm the only perfectionist in here.
No.
I doubt it. But it's like, you know, you get those checklists and you go, oh, I missed a few days. And you get hard on yourself and you go, oh, okay, and then you start to give up. But it is that consistency. It's not that perfection, you know. That's just, if you miss a few days or if you have that time where you just haven't made a priority, get back into it. Don't beat yourself up about it.
Absolutely.
I think it reminded me of one of my favorite verses in Lamentations. It's a good one. Yeah, 3:22, but it talks about how his mercies are new every morning, and as a perfectionist, recovering perfectionist. No, I'm not recovering yet. As a perfectionist,
that's the first step.
That's important that, like, you can start over every day, and his mercies are new every morning. For me, if I find myself disconnected, a lot of times I have to have, like, a purpose for why I'm doing something. That's how I'm wired. And so if I don't have a question, like, that I'm asking God or seeking, I find that I'm not. Like, I have to ask, I know I haven't learned everything I need to know about God. But so a lot of times when I'm feeling disconnected, I just start asking questions like, well, what do I believe about God? You know, why is that not affecting my life? And that kind of gets me into the Word and then gets me kind of looking for the answers to the questions. And once you get in the Word, it's almost like you just get excited. Like, you start to see things and you start to see where God puts verses out in other ways, in songs. And I'm a big music person. That's a huge way that I can connect with God. And so you see how God kind of uses that through your children. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
And the number of times I've had this experience where you start off, like, you're reading your Bible out of just straight up, like, almost obligation or habit, you know, and you don't maybe have the best motive. It's just like, okay, I'm doing it. But there's something where God honors that. And then you stumble across something and you're like, I had the most incredible time in God's word and I just started it. You know, I didn't know how it was going to go. And I just kind of just doing it out of habit or obligation, but then just you turn a corner and God meets you in a way that is profound. So I wanted to, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about prayer, because prayer is a huge part of this as well. But the foundation of prayer, at least in my life, really comes out of Scripture. If I don't have the foundation of who God is through Scripture, I was thinking about this. I could easily go and pray to a mountain. I could easily go and find other things to be worshiping and pretending like it really is God. But unless I really know Scripture and know what his core is through that, I can get off track. And so even though prayer is a very, very important piece of that, Scripture really is the core and the foundation to that, I think.
We're talking about prayer next week, and there's a Tim Keller book on prayer that I've been reading, and once again, every time I reference somebody, it's almost always Tim Keller or C.S. Lewis, but anyway. So Tim Keller says that prayer is continuing a conversation that God started in his word. So we're talking with God, and it's this conversational kind of aspect, but it's like the primary way God speaks to us. I think God lays stuff on our heart. God gives us a piece about stuff. We just get an impression that this is what God's saying. But the primary way that he communicates to us is through his word. And when we're praying, we're carrying on a conversation that he started. So anyway, yeah. We'll do one more question here. And it is, what is a practice a spiritual practice that you've found helpful. And I want to drill down on like how you did it. What something that you've done in your spiritual life. You may not even do it now, but it's something that you've done in the past that you that was just helpful, that you think might be helpful for people in as practical kind of stuff as possible. So
I do lots of practical things because I am a creative person, so a lot of times if I can't or because I don't have time to like sit down and study, then I will try to kind of put God, which I guess is what you should do, is put God into all the little daily things. So when I'm doing the dishes, I know it doesn't sound, dishes aren't fun anyway, but I like to think about how God, we can confess our sins and he can cleanse us of our unrighteousness. And so that's just one way, although Donnie does the dishes a lot, but it's really, I don't really need no. But that's one way that I really focus on, okay, and I've kind of had to train myself to think that way. But then, you know, even with like getting ready in the morning and thinking about, you know, taking a shower, and it's like, God, I want to go where you want my feet to go, and just kind of working through things that way, which I try to like teach the kids when I'm with them to do the same thing. When Donnie was talking about just an idea that prayer being that continuation, we, for the kids, I know there's kids in here. Where's the kids? Hey, kids. They love me. I know. Hi, guys. We got a new, my kids like to listen to the Bible on audio, which is a great way for the kids to get scripture in. And so we find different versions and different stories. And so Samuel got a new one for Christmas. He was listening to it, and it was basically just all of the story. And the way the author built up the anticipation for Jesus returning, Samuel was super excited to hear part two. And he called, because we have a little monitor. He's like, I want part two now. And I was like, we don't have that. There's no part two. Like, you just heard part one and you're part two. So I'm trying to explain to him that like Jesus is going to come back and you're part two. And like, if he was just adamant, I want it right now. I want to listen to it, because he was in suspense, you know, of it. And so, just the idea of, trying to bring, like, we're the part two. And so we are living out that story and keeping that in front of us, and just in any way that you can. And for kids, I like to tell them to look for how God's working around them, little detectives. And even like verses, if you see verses that keep coming up and it's the same verse over and over again, chances are God really wants to speak to you through that verse. I know Silas had that happen with Philippians 4:13. Hi, Silas. And he just felt, he's like, Mom, this verse just keeps coming up. I think this is my verse that God wants me to like, you know, cling to. And I know we all have those kinds of verses. And so, but that's just something that kids can do, get them looking, looking for things other than Pokemon. That's or adults.
Yeah. That's interesting. You say that regarding just verses popping up and God speaking through that. I know, going to all the details, but when I kind of came back to the Lord after spending some time doing my own thing, that was like a revelation to me as I began to read and kind of absorb scripture and then just see God actually taking something that I read in the morning or take something that I heard, and all of a sudden it just became alive and real in my life. I was like, wow, God, you actually use your word to speak to me. And as far as a discipline that that was kind of fun, my wife and I, this is a little while back, we were looking for something that we could do together that would be might be, you know, kind of bring us together, but also give us a platform to grow a little closer to the Lord. And we went and bought these, they're I don't know, just a very small Bible at Hastings, a New Testament. And we decided in 90 days, we're going to read through the New Testament twice. And each morning, we wrote out on the inside cover what we had to read each day. And then we would go through and we would underline what we thought was interesting or we didn't understand or, you know, whatever. And then we'd kind of think about it through the day, and then before we went to bed, we'd just go through and tell each other what we read and what we thought was interesting. And it was a fun experiment, because it was also interesting what I underlined versus what she underlined, and we learned a bit about each other. But there were lots of circumstances where we'd read in the morning and be like, oh, man, I'm excited to tell Cirrus about this at the end of the day. And I'd turn on the radio on the way to work, and it would be the same stuff that I just read. You know, I'd get to work, and a coworker would come in and they'd be asking me a question. I'd be like, you wouldn't believe this, but I just read this morning, you know. And then I would tell my wife about it that night, and I was just like, wow, God, you are speaking through this. And And some of that's just, you know, having a plan and doing something, you know, and it, like Matt said before, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it, just something. And that was really a neat thing that we did.
So. Yeah, something that just kind of thinking through that question, Donnie, when you ask that, I remember when I was in high school, I was going through youth group and had a kind of a mentor working through us with the high school, and one of those guys I really looked up to, and he really instilled in me, be careful what you're putting into your head. And one of the challenges he had for us is, we don't think there's like 6 or 7, you know, high school boys going through, was with music and the music we were listening to and how that actually affected us. And we kind of say, we don't listen to the lyrics, it's just fun, you know, but you do, it soaks in. And so one of the things we did for a whole summer was kind of a music diet. And we only listened to worship music. And he said, read through Psalms this whole summer. Just read through the Psalms. And as you're reading through the Psalms, be listening to worship music and see what attitude changes in your heart, you know. And I remember thinking, I don't know if this is going to work. But we did it. And I remember just the attitude I had towards life, the perspective I had towards things changed so much as I was reading through the Psalms. And then, you know, so many of the worship songs we have are written out of the scripture and written from the Psalms specifically too. And you catch those lyrics, you know, you just read that verse and then all of a sudden here it is in that song and you're singing that song and it's getting in your head. And as circumstances come up or as life kind of got in the way, those songs would come in your head. I'm a terrible memorizer when it comes to just scripture, but when I can get it in a song form or in a worship form, it's amazing how that'll just replay in my head over and over, and I'll find myself humming it or singing it. And even to this day, if I can get into that habit again, you know, if I'm at work and just working on something and listening to those songs, and you start, you know, it doesn't necessarily change the circumstances of your life, but it changes your perspective and how you look at those circumstances, and you go, okay, you know, I can take this, God's got this, and things like that. So that was one of the things for me that was cool. Big.
I was going to say for kids too, there's lots of really good, and they actually sound good. They're like music is, sometimes kids' music is kind of hokey and you're like, oh, I can't listen to this for 48 hours, but this is like good music. And so Seeds of Worship, right? And it's a group that takes just scripture and it's straight scripture and they just put it into song. And so it's not like they didn't add anything to it. And so great way for the kids to memorize scripture. And we actually did... the Luke 2 version, we sang it as one of the songs for one of the Christmas Eve times because it was like just perfect for the way they do that. But there's tons of stuff like that if your kids aren't ones to sit and just go through stuff to listen to. If you can ask any of the kids the Books of the Bible song, from, they all know that because it sticks in their head, you know, Matt could do it right now.
sales pitch for Awana too. If you have elementary age kids that aren't in Awana, this is like this is one of the big things. I was in Awana when I was a kid, and I memorized so many Bible verses as a part of that, and that's still a part of Awana today that we have here on Wednesday night, starting back up on January 11th. But that is a big, big way to learn a bunch of scripture, to hide God's word in your heart, like scripture tells us to. So,
or if you want to be challenged, come and help out at Awana.
Yeah, learn your own. You learn verses also.
And the kids, you'll be surprised and you'll learn quite a bit.
Yeah.
Plus, we need help too, so.
We stop time?
Yeah, okay. Go for it. Yeah.
Well, it's a similar twofold answer. A couple of years ago, I decided to stop making excuses that's just not my study method and start reading through the Bible in a year. So part of that is, it's kind of like you have to do some level of maintenance regardless if you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And you can make all sorts of excuses not to do it. Nobody likes to clean the toilet, but man, you don't clean the toilet. It's horrible. So it's kind of...
Thanks for that picture. Ed.
Yeah, not that reading scriptures like cleaning the toilet. There's just disciplines you've got to stop making excuses for. And eventually I'm like, okay, enough making excuses. I need to be continually reading through scripture. And pieces of that are because, I mean, like Matt said, I don't remember stuff very well. Especially I'm really getting old, a lot older than you guys. And my goodness, I mean, I taught through Genesis 7 years ago with Dan, and you'd think that it's stuck in my heart forever, but the truth of the matter is when I hear that again,
on my drive to work, oh, yeah, all this flood comes back. So that's one piece. And the other is, and it's kind of back to the first question as well, is I'm closest with God when I'm on a prayer walk. I take these prayer walks, and it's going to be different for every person, right? Some people, it's snuggled up on the couch with scripture and prayer. That's my mom, right? But me, I like to get outside. I like to get my heart pumping, more oxygen to my brain. I just think better, and I get in these vibrant conversations with God. And that has been very, very powerful in my life. And like what Matt was saying, sometimes they don't start off very pretty. Yeah, sometimes my neighbors are like, what is that? You know, kicking things and right off things happen. But I always, not always, but 90% of the time, I come back with a completely different attitude because the Lord has recorrected, because he'll pick things to work on with me. And lately it has been, I've called you to build people up, to encourage people. When I take off with that frustrated attitude and he corrects me, I'm coming back going, I'm just being selfish, and I need to be the spiritual leader of the family or whatever it be. So prayer walks is where I really, really connect.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for this discussion. I appreciate it. I hope it's been helpful for you guys. Can we thank them? Thank you. One of the things that I did, my answer to that question of something that I found helpful is when I was, my first job I had in Spokane was working at a thrift store that used to be called Classy Rack, now it's called UGM Thrift Store. But I worked there at the very first store that opened over there on Washington and Indiana, Washington and Boone where it was. But one of the jobs that I did lots of things. I oversaw different people, you know, people from the mission that would come to serve there, I'd oversee them and also just sorting through the donations and things like that. And I enlarged my library quite a bit when I worked at that thrift store. I was like always grabbing books and setting them aside and stuff. But one of the jobs that I did that was a very repetitive, didn't have to think about it a lot job, was the clothes that get donated but don't quite pass muster. You know, they like look at them, there's a hole in this. That goes over here in this other pile. And then that pile eventually of clothing gets baled. They have a big baler machine. And so I'm not like a farm person that has ever run a baler before, but I learned how to run a baler, which was clothing items that would then get shipped overseas. It'd be used for industrial rags, that kind of thing. But doing that job was very repetitive. It was you put a piece of cardboard down, you put some twine down, you throw some clothes on top of it, you have the machine smush it all down, or you put another piece of cardboard in, smush it all down, tie it up, pull out a bale of clothing, and then throw it to the side. And while I was doing that job, one of the things that I did was I would write out scripture, passage of scripture I'm trying to memorize, something from Psalms or, you know, something, and write it either on my own handwriting or print it out on a printer, and put it up on the baler where it's eye level for me. So while it's repetitive job, I have my mind is totally free to think about whatever. I'm looking at this scripture and just really thinking deeply about the verse that's right in front of me. And having a chance to memorize it, having a chance to even put it into a song, you know, that's kind of a thing. You can kind of make your own song to a verse that would make it a little bit easier to remember. But then just applying it as deeply as possible and thinking as deeply as possible. And we tend to not do that, do we? No, I mean, it's very common to, I have these, what I call my anti-boredom device that I carry around in my pocket, that I don't ever have to be bored again. I have this thing right here. I don't ever have to, like, think about nothing. I can always think about what's in the news or what's happening on, you know, on this social media, whatever. But it's important that we do these disciplines where we're considering and thinking about Scripture. And I wanted to just briefly tell you, there's three things you can do with Scripture. One is to read it. It seems like an obvious thing, but it needs to be stated that it's what we were talking about up here on the stage, that there's this a breadth of knowledge about Scripture, thinking about how the verses fit together, thinking about this book comes before this book, and then this book over here tells the story of David, but then this is David's writings over here, and there's a basic familiarity level that all Christians, I think, should have when it comes to Scripture, and that's why I think for every Christian, my goal would be for all of you, if you haven't done this yet, is to read through the entire Bible. to read every single verse in the Bible at least once in your life to go through it, preferably every year. I mean, it's a habit that many, many Christians do that every year, to go through it every single year. So first is to read about it. Get that basic level of knowledge about where things fit together, where verses are, a basic level of understanding. Second is to meditate on it. And that's what we were talking about, just this really thinking about it, just not just reading it and closing the Bible and saying that's nice and walking away, but going, is there something I should think about here that I just read? What stands out to me? Should I take some time to really consider this? And we talk about SOAP journaling, scripture, observation, application, prayer. We talk about that here at Life Roads quite a bit. I encourage you to work through that process. There's an orange handout out there in the lobby that talks about SOAP journaling and kind of what that means and how to do that. And it's just a tool. It's there to help you think through scripture and consider to really put some thought into it and filling your heart and your mind with scripture and considering the impact it might make on you. And then memorizing it. And memorizing is very helpful because that enables you to think about scripture whenever you want. You don't have to have a device in front of you. I had I cracked the screen of my phone this last week, and that was a devastating moment. I was like, oh no. So it's silly how frustrating it is or how upsetting it is to break your phone. But I knew I was going to have to take it to the Apple Store and pay them money to get it replaced. And I knew I couldn't get into the Apple Store until later in the week. And I had a moment a couple days ago or yesterday where I was just without my phone for a few hours. My anti-boredom device was gone. And it's just funny because I was like, well, I can... You know, I was running errands. I'm like, what if Pam needs to get a hold of me? She won't be able to. And it's like, well, this is just what day-to-day life was, you know, not that long ago. But I was thinking, one of the things I can do, I'm like, I want to read some scripture or listen to some scripture, and I can't do that because I don't have my phone. But what I can do in this moment is bring to mind the scripture that I've hidden away in my heart from my days in Awana when I was a kid or things I've learned since then, and I can just think about it. I don't have to have anything with me. It's just all in my head, which is pretty great. So what if in the year ahead, you memorized your favorite passage of scripture and you were able to bring that to mind whenever you wanted? What if you picked, you know, that favorite passage from Philippians and you committed it to memory? Do you think it would have an impact on you in the year ahead doing that? The time it would take to memorize a passage of scripture. So my hope for all of us here at Life Roads is that we would read God's Word, that we would take this next year and make it a habit of reading God's Word. And we've selected a Bible reading plan that I'm pretty excited about. It's called the Discipleship Journal Book at a Time Bible Reading Plan. And it's on these green pieces of paper. You can pick them up out there in the lobby. And today's January 1st, so you can start today. It's a perfect time to start. If you have the Bible app, which many of you use on your smartphone, you can look up, type Book at a Time plan in the list of all the plans under the, so it's just the Bible app. If you don't have a Bible app, it's the top result on all the different either iPhone or Apple Store or Android, all the different ones. And if you type Book at a Time, it's the same one. It's the same plan, Discipleship Journal Book at a Time Reading Plan. And one of the things that I like about this, we're talking about being perfectionists and wanting to check the boxes on everything and feeling really bad about yourself if you didn't check the box. This Bible reading plan gives you a grace day every single week. So there's 6 days of reading every week. And then that seventh day, if you want to go back and think about, if you're all caught up and you want to just spend more time reflecting on something you read, do that in that time. But for so many people, I think myself included, when you fall behind, it's demoralizing. And you feel bad about the boxes you didn't check. And so you almost like rather just drop out than try to pick up where you're at, even though I would recommend picking up where you're at instead of, you know, dropping out and seeing if you can catch up later. But either way, I love that there's a grace day in this plan, and I encourage you to pick up one of these plans. And there's something powerful about getting a big group of people reading the same passages of Scripture over a given week. So when we come together like next Sunday, say like, oh, I was reading something in Genesis this week, and you're talking with somebody in the lobby, and they go, I was reading the same thing, and you have this point of connection, this point of community, and knowing that we, even though we are dispersed and scattered throughout the week, when we come together, we've been going through the same stuff during the week, and I think that's a powerful, powerful thing for us to do. There's another piece of paper out there in the lobby that is, this is just for fun. Some of you might find this helpful, some of you won't care, but this is, it's every single chapter in the Bible on this color-coded chart, and the letters are kind of small, the numbers are kind of small, but you could check off every single chapter in the Bible until this whole thing is checked off, if you want to. That might be a helpful thing. You put this up on the fridge, and you're like, I'm going to read through the entire Bible, and you'll see this thing start to get checked off throughout the year, and it might be a helpful thing. For kids, if you want to read the Bible, I'm encouraging Silas to read through the Bible with me this year. He's 10, And he's excited about doing that. We're going to get him set up on the Bible app on my other, on another device that we have. And you can listen to Scripture. I think that counts. He just waved at me. Hi, Silas. Listening to Scripture is very powerful. Scripture was meant to be spoken out loud and listened to. And so it's great to read Scripture. I encourage you to do that. But also just that difference of hearing it read, too, is a powerful thing. Rich just sent me a friend request on the Bible app. Thank you, Rich. I'll accept your request. Yeah. So, yeah, look me up on there. We'll be friends. It'll be great. But I want to encourage you to read Scripture this year. Let's read the Bible together. What if this was the year you read through the entire Bible and you'd never done that? You know, this is a great opportunity to begin that. The other thing, if you are using the app, plug it in today and start that plan today, because otherwise it gets kind of funny when you start on day two and you're reading January 1's reading on the second day. You have to play with it a little bit to fix it. If you do have that problem, I will help you fix that problem. But I would encourage you, just do it today. Do it today. Get started on this today. Let's read God's Word. What difference could it make, perhaps, in the year ahead if you spend time in God's Word? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this time of talking about how to grow closer to you, Lord. This is important stuff for us. I pray that in the year ahead, this would be a year for every person in this room, every other person that's a part of our church that isn't here today, Lord, that's traveling. Lord, I pray that we would be a community of people that are devoted to practices of growing closer to you, that we wouldn't just be people who try harder, but we would do the methods of training and the practices that our brothers and sisters in Christ have been doing for almost 2,000 years. And that we would grow closer and closer to you. So, Lord, thank you. I pray for every person, no matter how old they are in this room, Lord, that you would help them to meet you one day if they haven't, Lord, and to grow closer to you in their relationship with you if they are your children. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.